Welcome to the Stephen Mansfield Podcast.
Welcome to the Stephen Mansfield Podcast. Great to have you with me here, where we talk about current events and history, looking at it through the lens of faith, through the lens of character, and through the lens of leadership. I want to talk to you about the current crisis in the Middle East, and I'm going to make, before I'm done, a radical proposal. Let me start this way. Almost all the Western powers right now are pushing Israel towards a two-state solution. This would mean that there's an Israel and there's also a Palestinian state. And this is the default for the Western powers, and especially since October the 7th, when Hamas viciously went into Israel and killed about 1,400 people. Don't mean to be too graphic here, but literally throwing babies into ovens, literally splitting grandmothers open, vicious attack. This has been the theme. Obviously, Israel's moved into Gaza. It's been very bloody, very violent. They fully intend to drive Hamas out of Gaza. And so the rest of the world is saying we need a two-state solution. Well, let me provide a little bit of perspective on this. A two-state solution sounds fair and is the default, but the fact is there's only one reason we don't currently have a two-state solution, and that is because Arab leaders have historically rejected the two-state solution. Now, this is exactly true. There's only one reason that we don't already have two states as a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian tension, and that's because Arab leaders have rejected it. There was a two-state solution proposed as soon as Israel became a nation. In fact, before Israel became a nation. And the man who was leading the Palestinian cause and one of the most prominent Arab leaders was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Hajj al-Amini al-Husseini. And he not once but twice rejected a two-state solution. Later in history, Yasser Arafat, the head of the PLO, for decades rejected a two-state solution. Rejected it out of hand, wouldn't hear of it. Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority, has recently rejected a two-state solution. It has been rejected by Arab leaders over and over and over. Now, I think some Arabs now regret that rejection, but the fact of the matter is there's one reason and one reason only that we don't have a two-state solution to the current crisis, and that is that Arab leaders have rejected it. And let me tell you, and I should pause right now for those of you who might be new and tell you that I'm unusual in my response to the Palestinian-Israeli tensions because I have dear friends who are Muslim who are on the ground in Gaza and suffering from the Israeli attack. At the same time, I am very much pro-Israel and pro the Israeli people, the Jewish people. My daughter works for an Israeli company. And I obviously understand the justice of their cause and their right to have a place among the nations of the world. So I often end up speaking on both sides of the issue, sounding maybe a little contradictory to some, but it's because I'm in favor of justice. I'm in favor of care for the people. I realize the people of Gaza, the Palestinians of Gaza, are being held captive by Hamas, an organization that needs to go away from the face of the earth. And I believe very much in the peace amongst the peoples, but a righteous peace. Now, the reason that this two-state solution has been opposed by Arab leaders is fundamentally religious. Fundamentally, most Muslim Arab leaders do not believe that Israel has a legitimate right to exist. That's why a lot of Westerners don't find it easy to understand where the Arabs are in Israel. Most Arabs, that is. The fact is that you've got 430 million Arabs in the Middle East amongst the Arab nations. And Israel is 8 million. 8 million people, slightly more. It occupies a sliver of land 200 miles long, 70 miles wide, sometimes as narrow as 6 miles wide. And yet, somehow, it is a stench in the nostrils of the Arab leaders who have rejected a two-state solution that would have given the Palestinians a homeland over and over and over and over. And the reason is it's not a matter of demographics. It's not a matter of square mileage. It's a matter of a hatred of the Jews. It's a matter that, particularly, for example, the PLO and Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and everyone else sponsored by Iran as a terrorist group, all of them hold the view, all of them have in their documents that the nation of Israel is not a legitimate nation, that it should not have been granted the territory it currently occupies in 1948, that the Balfour Declaration of 1917 was an illegitimate document. It just goes on and on and on. So as a result, you've got great offense in much of the Arab world, where I travel and love dear Arab friends deeply. But the Arab leaders, many of them, most of them, don't have any intention of finding a two-state solution. In fact, I would suggest to you, and this is going to be radical, but I would suggest to you that the situation in Gaza and it being a haven for terrorists is what a two-state solution would look like. In other words, Gaza was a two-state solution in microcosm, and look what we have. We've got 2.3 million people basically held captive by a terrorist organization called Hamas. They build their weapons depots and their headquarters and their terrorist strategy locations underneath orphanages and hospitals and apartment complexes and schools. They siphon off aid that comes from the Western world, use it for munitions, do not use it for the elderly and the sick and the indigent. This has been proven over and over and over. By the way, Gaza is approximately twice the size of Washington, D.C. It's tiny. It's a little sliver of land. 2.3 million people and basically twice the size of a moderate U.S. city. I mean, D.C. is not even that big. D.C. only has about 650,000 people there on a regular basis. It obviously balloons up when tourists come into town and you have special events. But Gaza's small, and Israel is small. Why does this even take the notice of the Arab world? Because they're offended by the Jews. In fact, you know, about 2 million of the citizens of Israel are Arabs, and they're unbelievably well taken care of and given great equality. But oh no. We've got to drive, as the students are saying on the campuses, we've got to drive Israel into the sea. I was intrigued recently by an interview that was done by a former beauty queen Israeli journalist. She was walking the campuses and holding up a microphone and putting it in the front of the faces of American students who were protesting. And these students were chanting, from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea. And she said, oh, that's interesting that you're chanting that. What river? What sea? Do you know that none of the people she walked up to even knew? They didn't know what they were talking about. And when they did settle down and let her teach them a little bit, they found that they didn't agree with the very thing they'd been chanting. They didn't know what they were talking about. You see, our universities are eaten up with neo-Marxism, which basically teaches that if there are four of us in the room, one of us has got to be an oppressor. And that's, of course, a foolish way of looking at history, because many times you simply have accidents of history, you simply have collisions of cultures, and no one's the oppressor, but also no one's getting exactly what they want. Now, my point in this podcast is that we think beyond chance, we think beyond slogans, we think beyond the way we've been thinking for a long period of time. First of all, we don't have a two-state solution because Arabs rejected it. Second of all, Gaza is probably what a two-state solution looks like on the Palestinian side. And so my radical solution is, look, we're only talking about 2 million people who are now having to flood out of Gaza. And by the way, nations like Egypt and Jordan and others are refusing to take them. So why don't we partition them among the nations of the world? We're only talking about 2 million people. That may sound like a lot to you, but on the scale of global refugee crisis, it's nothing. 2 million people is nothing. Why don't we take the Palestinians who are leaving Gaza and partition them amongst willing nations around the world and get them settled and don't leave them in ghettos and get them jobs and enculturate them and help them and dilute this problem into the nations of the world. The U.S. could take some hundreds of thousands. If we'd shut down our southern border, we wouldn't have an immigrant crisis. And we could bring in these people who are hurting, who have been living in an open-air prison camp for a long time, run by Hamas, insisted upon by Hamas as a gripe factor for Hamas, as a cover for Hamas terrorism, funded and instructed by Iran. That's what's been going on. That's what's going on with Hezbollah. That's what's going on with the Houthis in Yemen. So I would propose, let's take these 2 million people who now are trying to flee Gaza, and let's partition them, and let's put them in good nations that'll take care of them with excellence and quality. Let's remove this Gaza disaster, which has occurred, frankly, ever since the Intifada, when Israel went home and moved thousands of Jews out of Gaza. And Hamas then, as of about 2007, won the election and turned Gaza into a mini-terrorist state. I bleed for the people of Gaza. I believe they're being held hostage. I believe we can help them. I believe we can remove them from the domination and dominion of Hamas. And we can put them in nations that will care for them, that will help them rise and achieve. And within a generation, we'll have thriving ex-Palestinian prison camp inmates, people instead who are thriving in nations that we care about them. In fact, they could be diluted into the Arab nations of the Middle East, and it would be glorious for them. And we would remove the stench of Gaza from the nostrils of the world. We don't have a two-state solution because the Arabs don't want it. The Arab leaders, I want to say, because I love the Arab people. And we don't have that solution because the Arab leaders have wanted to drive Israel into the sea. And that's an unjust cause. That's an unjust vision. Israel has a right to exist among the nations. It's a little sliver of land along the Mediterranean amongst 430 million other people. Live peaceably, it's possible. But you can't believe a nation has to be destroyed and also live peaceably with it. And that's where the sticking point has been. So let's get smart, let's get creative, and let's do what needs to be done to end Hamas, restructure Gaza, let Gaza be an Israeli city filled with Jews and Christians and Muslims, and let these poor, oppressed Palestinian people, until recently held hostage by Hamas, be distributed among the Arab nations of the world and be raised in possibilities and prosperity that will change their fate within a generation. This, I think, is a noble proposal that ought to be considered.
Stephen Mansfield is a New York Times bestselling author, a popular global speaker, and senior fellow for public leadership at Palm Beach Atlantic University. His groundbreaking books on faith and society include The Faith of George W. Bush, The Search for God in Guinness, Mansfield's Book of Manly Men, and Lincoln's Battle with God. Learn more at StephenMansfield.tv.